Tragically, the most devastating betrayals are those we craft with our own hands. Hidden deep within the Iron Valley, an Omega poured her blood and sweat into a poisoned masterpiece, a chain of pure silver. Little did she know those exact links were destined to become the cage for her own soulmate. If you were to search the private sealed archives of the Cathedral of St. Jude, buried beneath centuries of dust, you would find the personal diaries of Magistrate Philip Montgomery. In his erratic, ink-stained scrawl from the winter of 1243, he documents a series of events in the trading settlement of Oakhaven that most historians dismiss as local myth. They write it off as a fairy tale, but the parish death tolls the sudden disappearance of a prominent blacksmith guild, and the physical ruins of the Northern Ridge Fortress tell a very real, very bloody story. This is the true account of Maeve Caldwell. To the humans of Oakhaven, Maeve was a quiet, broad-shouldered woman, with soot permanently stained into the creases of her knuckles. She was the sole inheritor of the Caldwell Forge after her father's passing, a master of cold forging steel, and a woman who kept her head down. But beneath the heavy leather apron and the grime, Maeve harbored a fatal secret. She was a werewolf. More specifically, she was an Omega, the lowest, most vulnerable tier of her kind, a class hunted for their rarity and bred for subjugation by the ruling Alpha classes. To survive in human territory, Maeve lived in a state of constant agonizing suppression. Every morning she ingested a toxic paste made of crushed wolfsbane and charcoal to kill her scent. It tasted like ash and made her hands tremble, but it kept the Alpha patrols from sniffing her out when they passed through the town square. She traded her nature for survival, but survival has a price, and in the bitter winter of 1243, the local guilds tripled their taxes. Maeve was facing the seizure of her family's forge. It was on a freezing November evening that salvation and damnation walked through her door. Magistrate Montgomery himself arrived, accompanied by a cloaked emissary from the Northern Ridge. The emissary threw a heavy velvet sack onto Maeve's anvil. It burst open, spilling more gold florins than she had ever seen in her lifetime. "A commission!" The emissary rasped his voice, muffled beneath a thick wool scarf. "By direct order of the new sovereign of the Northern Ridge, King Alistair, we require a chain, 10 feet in length. The links must be forged of pure, unadulterated silver, thick enough to hold the weight of a mature draft horse. And the locking mechanism must be impenetrable." Maeve's heart hammered against her ribs, her inner wolf violently pacing in the cage of her mind. Silver. It was poison to their kind. The fumes alone could blister a werewolf's lungs, and touching it raw and molten would burn her flesh down to the bone. To an Omega, silver was a death sentence. "I only work in iron and steel." Maeve lied her voice, steady, despite the dread pooling in her stomach. "Take your gold to the silversmiths in the capital. Silversmiths make jewelry, Caldwell." The magistrate snapped impatiently. "This is a restraint. It requires the strength of a master blacksmith. The king's decree was specific. He wants the best, and he is willing to pay double the guild rate for your silence. Will you take the coin, or shall I have the tax collectors seize your property by dawn?" Maeve stared at the gold. It was enough to pay the taxes, buy her wolfsbane for a decade, and perhaps even secure a safe passage across the sea to territories where Omegas weren't hunted. She looked at her calloused hands, swallowed the bitter taste of fear, and nodded. "I'll do it," she whispered. For the next 3 weeks, Maeve's forge became a literal hell. The smelting of raw silver produced a sweet, cloying smoke that burned her eyes and made her cough up blood, because she could not use her wolf healing without revealing her true nature. The burns on her arms blistered and scarred. Her forge, usually a place of comfort and creation, felt like a torture chamber. Every strike of her hammer against the glowing, molten silver felt like a betrayal of her own blood. Yet as she worked, the metal folding it into impossibly strong interlocking rings, she poured all her rage into the chain. She hated the Alpha King who had ordered this. King Alistair was known as a ruthless conqueror, a beast who had slaughtered his way to the throne. She imagined this chain was for one of his enemies, perhaps a rogue werewolf he intended to torture. The thought made her sick, but she hammered her defiance into every link. If this chain was meant to hold a wolf, she would make it a masterpiece of unbroken strength. It would be her dark, terrible magnum opus. By the fourth week, the silver sickness had taken a severe toll on Maeve. Her skin was deathly pale, her lips chapped, and dark circles hollowed her eyes. The wolfsbane she took to hide her scent, combined with the toxic silver fumes, was slowly shutting down her organs. It was late on a Tuesday night. A violent blizzard was howling through the Iron Valley, burying Oakhaven in deep drifts. Maeve was alone in the sweltering heat of the forge, hammering the final locking mechanism, a massive, intricate padlock designed to clamp shut and never release without a specialized key. The heavy wooden doors of her shop suddenly blew open, letting in a swirl of violently cold snow. Standing in the doorway was a man who seemed to swallow the light in the room. He was extraordinarily tall, with shoulders broad enough to block the storm behind him. He wore a dark, fur-lined travel cloak, dusted with snow, and his piercing, pale amber eyes locked onto Maeve with an intensity that made her drop her tongs. Instantly, a shockwave hit Maeve's chest. It was a visceral, violent pull, a sensation like a hook catching right behind her ribs. Her inner wolf, subdued and starved by years of poison, suddenly threw itself against the bars of her mind, howling with a desperate, terrifying need. Mate. The realization was a nightmare. Maeve stumbled back, knocking over a bucket of water. Steam hissed into the air. It couldn't be. The man stepping into her forge was a werewolf, an alpha, judging by the sheer, crushing weight of his aura. But why was the bond pulling at her? The stranger froze, his nostrils flaring. He took a slow, deliberate step into the forge, his amber eyes scanning her from head to toe. The mate bond works both ways, but Maeve's scent was heavily masked by the wolfsbane and the overwhelming metallic stench of the boiling silver. He couldn't smell the omega in her, but he felt something. A deep, unexplainable gravitational pull toward the soot-covered woman, trembling by the anvil. I am Captain Fenwick, the man said, his voice, a low, rumbling baritone that sent a shiver down Maeve's spine. I was sent by the king to inspect the progress of the chain. Maeve forced herself to breathe. He doesn't know, she told herself. He can't smell me. It is nearly finished, Maeve rasped, hiding her bandaged, blistered hands behind her leather apron. The links are complete. I am finishing the lock. The man who called himself Fenwick approached the anvil. He looked down at the massive pile of silver chains. Even sitting dormant, the metal seemed to radiate a cold, toxic malice. Fenwick's jaw tightened. Maeve watched his bare hands. He kept them strictly away from the metal. It is flawless craftsmanship, Fenwick murmured, his eyes shifting from the chain back to Maeve. He stepped closer, invading her personal space. The heat radiating off his body was intoxicating. But look at you. You are trembling. Your skin is gray. This work is killing you, blacksmith. I am well compensated for my suffering, Maeve retorted, trying to step back, but her back hit the stone furnace. Fenwick closed the distance, trapping her against the stone. He reached out, and before she could pull away, he gently grasped her wrist. His large, warm fingers ghosted over the horrific silver burns wrapping up her forearm. A jolt of pure electricity shot up Maeve's arm, and a tiny, pathetic whimper escaped her throat. Fenwick's amber eyes darkened instantly. His thumb stroked the unburnt skin of her wrist, his chest heaving with a sudden ragged breath. He looked deeply confused, fighting an internal war he didn't understand. Why was he an alpha of royal blood, drawn to this frail, sickly human blacksmith? Why would a king order such a cruel thing? Maeve whispered, unable to stop the words, mesmerized by his proximity. Silver doesn't just hold a wolf. It burns them alive. It drives them mad. Whatever poor soul King Alistair intends to bind with this, it is a coward's punishment. Fenwick's grip on her wrist tightened slightly. A flash of profound pain crossed his rugged features. The king is not a coward, Fenwick said softly, his voice thick with an emotion Maeve couldn't name. He is a monster. A beast infected with a blood curse passed down through his lineage. With every full moon, the feral madness grows stronger. He loses his mind. He slaughters his own people. He ordered this chain not to punish an enemy, Maeve, but to bind himself. Maeve stopped breathing. The Alpha King, the tyrant of the North, was chaining himself to protect his people. Once the lock snaps shut, Fenwick continued, his voice dropping to a harsh whisper, his eyes locked onto hers. The king will be tethered to the stone floors of his dungeon. The silver will weaken him, burn him, keep the beast starved and contained until the moon wanes. It is the only way. A profound, aching sadness washed over Maeve. The man standing before her, this captain, spoke of the king with such intimate, self-loathing detail. She looked into his amber eyes, connecting the dots her panicked mind had refused to see. The sheer power of his aura, the unexplainable mate bond, the way he looked at the silver with personal dread. This was no captain. You are the king. She breathed out the truth, slipping past her lips before she could stop it. Alistair didn't deny it. He looked down at this soot-stained woman, overwhelmed by an agonizing desire to bury his face in her neck, to claim her, to protect her. Yet he believed her to be human, and he knew he was a cursed, dying beast. Finish the lock, Maeve Caldwell. Alistair ordered, his voice breaking, as he slowly backed away from her, pulling his hand back as if he had been burned. He wrapped his cloak tightly around himself, shutting out the warmth of the forge. When it is done, you will not give it to a courier. You will bring it to the northern ridge yourself. I must know the smith who forged my cages there to ensure the lock holds. That is my final decree. Without another word, he turned and vanished into the blizzard, leaving Maeve alone, with the poisoned chains, a broken heart, and a mate bond that was destined to destroy them both. According to the private wax-sealed letters of Lord Arthur Pendleton, the king's chief historian, the journey to the northern ridge was a death march for any mortal in the dead of winter. For Maeve, it was an agonizing blur of frostbite and failing lungs. She rode in the back of an armored carriage, a heavy iron lockbox resting at her feet, containing the physical manifestation of her heartbreak. The silver chain, when the carriage finally breached the towering, jagged gates of Ironhold Keep, Maeve was barely able to stand. The fortress was a terrifying monument of dark stone and militaristic brutalism, perched on the edge of a sheer cliff overlooking the frozen sea. There were no banners, no signs of royal opulence. The air felt thick with fear. The guards patrolled with their heads down, their eyes darting nervously toward the central keep. Maeve was immediately greeted, not by the king, but by Chancellor Frederick Croft. Croft was a lean, sharp-featured man, wrapped in extravagant sable furs, his eyes gleaming with a calculating, icy ambition. The blacksmith, I presume. Croft said, his nose wrinkling in disgust at her soot-stained clothes and deathly pale complexion. He gestured to two guards to take the iron lockbox. You took your time, Caldwell. The full moon is but hours away. The king is already sequestering himself. The king commanded that I secure the lock myself, Maeve rasped, leaning heavily against the carriage wheel to keep her trembling legs from giving out. The wolfsbane was destroying her immune system. Take me to him. Croft's thin lips curled into a semblance of a smile, though it did not reach his eyes. Of course. We must ensure His Majesty is kept safely away from the populace, for his protection and ours. Croft led her deep into the bowels of the fortress. They descended a spiraling stone staircase that seemed to plunge directly into the center of the earth. The temperature dropped drastically, the air growing heavy with the smell of damp earth, saltpeter, and an underlying metallic tang of old blood. As they walked, Croft spoke with an eerie rehearsed sorrow. It is a tragedy, really, the Chancellor murmured, his voice echoing off the wet stone walls. King Alistair is a formidable ruler, but this feral blood curse, it degrades him. Every month, the beast takes more of his mind. The kingdom whispers of his madness. Soon they will demand a new sovereign, one whose mind is not tainted by the moon. Maeve said nothing, but her inner wolf growled at the disrespect dripping from the Chancellor's words. She realized then that Croft didn't fear the king's curse. He was waiting for it to finally destroy him. They reached the bottom of the abyss, a massive vault door forged of solid iron and reinforced with timber stood open. Inside the dungeon was a cavernous circular room, lit only by a few flickering torches. In the center of the room, chained to the bedrock by temporary iron shackles, was Alistair. He was stripped to the waist, his massive, heavily scarred chest heaving with ragged breaths. The blood curse was already taking hold. Black, venomous veins spiderwebbed up his neck and down his muscular arms. His eyes, usually a piercing, pale amber, were bleeding into a solid, terrifying crimson. He looked up as they entered, a low, guttural growl vibrating in his chest. When his eyes locked onto Maeve, the growl abruptly stopped. A profound shock ripped through his tortured expression. What is she doing here? Alistair snarled, fighting against the iron chains. Croft, I told you to send her away once the chain was delivered. Get her out of here. The blacksmith insisted on following your exact decree, my liege, Croft said smoothly, staying safely near the heavy vault door. She is here to secure the lock. No, Alistair roared, his voice distorting into a terrifying dual-toned bark. He looked at Maeve, his eyes filled with absolute terror, not for himself, but for her. Maeve, run. You do not understand what I become. If that silver doesn't hold me, I will tear you to pieces. Leave. Now. Maeve's heart shattered at the agony in his voice. Her mate was preparing to be tortured, and he was using his last shreds of sanity to protect her. She walked forward, dragging the heavy silver chain from the lockbox. The fumes immediately made her nauseous, but she gritted her teeth, ignoring the stinging burns forming on her hands. I forged this chain, Your Grace. Maeve said, her voice remarkably steady as she approached him. I will secure it. She knelt before him on the freezing stone. Being this close to him, unmasked by the blizzard, the mate bond roared to life within her, crashing against her heavily suppressed senses. She could feel his agony as if it were her own. She clamped the massive silver cuffs around his wrists. The moment the pure silver touched Alistair's skin, his flesh hissed. A sickening scent of burning meat filled the air. Alistair threw his head back and unleashed a scream of absolute blinding agony. I'm sorry, Maeve sobbed, tears cutting tracks through the soot on her face as she secured the heavy interlocking padlock to the bedrock ring. She took the large iron key and stood up. It is done. The lock is secured. Excellent! Croft's voice echoed from the doorway. Maeve turned, expecting the Chancellor to lead her out. Instead, Croft was standing on the outside of the vault. He reached forward and grabbed the heavy iron handle of the door. Croft Alistair gasped, dropping to his knees as the silver seared into his veins. What are you doing? Securing the realm, Your Majesty. Croft said, his eyes cold and dead. You see, a king who chains himself like a rabid dog cannot lead an army. You are weak. The silver will not just hold you tonight, Alistair. It will poison your heart. You will not survive until morning. You treasonous bastard. Alistair roared, lunging forward, but the silver chain snapped taut, throwing him brutally back to the floor. And as for the blacksmith, Croft sneered, looking at Maeve. I cannot have anyone alive who knows how to pick that lock. Consider this a sacrifice for the greater good of the Northern Ridge. With a deafening clang, Croft slammed the massive vault door shut. The heavy deadbolts slid into place from the outside, echoing like gunshots in the enclosed space. Maeve rushed to the door, pounding her blistered fists against the impenetrable iron. It was useless. They were buried alive beneath a mountain of stone. She turned slowly back to the center of the room. Above, through a small ventilation shaft in the ceiling, the silvery light of the full moon pierced the darkness. The beam hit Alistair. The king screamed, his body violently arching off the stone floor as the feral curse erupted. The transformation of a cursed alpha is not natural. It is a violent skeletal restructuring driven by madness. Alistair's bones cracked and lengthened with sickening snaps. Thick midnight black fur burst from his skin, but the silver cuffs burned through the fur, searing straight down to the bone. The beast that emerged was a nightmare of muscle and rage. He was nearly 9 feet tall on his hind legs, a monstrous, dire wolf with eyes like pools of fresh blood. But he was trapped. The beast thrashed wildly, biting at the glowing hot silver chains, tearing his own gums to shreds in a desperate attempt to break free. Maeve backed against the heavy iron door, trembling uncontrollably. The feral alpha locked eyes with her. Drool dripped from his massive fangs. He didn't see the woman who had forged his chains. He saw prey. He lunged at her, his jaws snapping inches from her face, only to be yanked violently backward by the silver chain. The lock held. Her craftsmanship was too perfect. Alistair! Maeve cried out, but her voice was lost in the deafening, monstrous roars of the beast. He was killing himself. In his feral state, the pain of the silver only fueled his rage. He pulled harder and harder against the bedrock, his wrists bleeding profusely. The silver poison was rapidly tracking up his veins, turning his blood black. His heart rate was erratic, pounding so hard, Maeve could hear it echoing in the vault. If he continued, his heart would give out, or he would sever his own limbs. He is dying, Maeve realized, a cold terror washing over her. My mate is dying, and I built the weapon killing him. There was no more time for fear. There was no more time for hiding. Maeve closed her eyes. She reached deep into her chest, past the toxic layers of ash and wolf's bane, and found the small, terrified, suppressed soul of her inner wolf. For a decade, she had starved it, kept it locked away in the dark. Wake up, she commanded herself. Wake up and save him. Maeve fell to her knees, violently gagging. Her body instinctively rejected the poison she had ingested that morning. She coughed up a horrific mixture of black charcoal and bile onto the stone floor. As the poison left her system, her true nature violently, forcefully rushed to the surface. Her bones ached. Her senses dialed up to an excruciatingly sharp degree. And then the scent hit the air. It was a smell like crushed pine needles, petrichor, and sweet honey. It was the undeniable intoxicating pheromone of an unbonded omega. The feral beast suddenly froze. Alistair's massive head snapped toward her, his crimson eyes widening. The scent hit his highly sensitive olfactory glands like a physical blow. The primal, predatory rage in his brain crashed headfirst into an ancient biological imperative. Mate. Protect. Claim. Maeve stood up. Her eyes, usually a dull brown, were now glowing a brilliant, luminescent gold. Alistair, she commanded her voice, no longer a frightened human rasp, but carrying the ancient, echoing resonance of her wolf. The beast whimpered, dropping low to the floor, torn between the feral madness of the moon and the submissive draw of his true mate. Maeve walked toward him. She didn't hesitate. She knelt beside the massive, terrifying beast and placed her bare hands directly onto the raw, molten silver cuffs. The hiss of burning flesh was immediate. Agony shot up Maeve's arms like lightning. The silver blistered her palms, instantly melting her skin, but she didn't let go. Fueled by the adrenaline of her awakening and the desperate need to save her mate, she dug her fingers into the microscopic seams of the lock, the very seams she had hammered together in Oakhaven. Break! She screamed, her golden eyes flashing. She poured every ounce of her latent werewolf strength into her hands. Blood poured from her palms, mixing with the silver. A fundamental rule of werewolf lore, documented in the restricted texts of Bishop Clement, states that the blood of a true mate carries a raw elemental magic capable of breaking the darkest curses. As Maeve's pure omega blood seeped into the silver, the metal hissed and suddenly grew brittle. With a deafening crack, the flawless silver chain shattered into a thousand pieces. The backlash of energy threw Maeve backward. She hit the stone floor hard, her vision swimming in black spots, her hands ruined and smoking. Alistair was free. Maeve squeezed her eyes shut, waiting for the beast to tear out her throat. Instead, she felt a massive hot presence looming over her. A wet nose gently nudged her neck. She opened her eyes. The beast was gone. The feral curse had been broken the moment the chain shattered and their bond was recognized. Kneeling over her was King Alistair, fully human, his amber eyes wide with absolute awe and desperate concern. You. Alistair breathed, his hands hovering over her ruined palms, afraid to cause her more pain. You are my mate. You are a wolf. Why didn't you tell me? You would have locked me in a cage, Maeve whispered, weakly coughing, as the exhaustion took over. Never, Alistair swore, his voice breaking. He leaned down, pressing his forehead against hers. As their skin touched, a warm, golden pulse of energy radiated between them. The mate bond finally snapped into place, sealing itself permanently. I would have burned the world down to keep you safe. He carefully scooped her into his arms, holding her tightly against his chest. His amber eyes shifted toward the heavy vault door, and a terrifying alpha growl rumbled deep in his chest, a sound of pure, righteous fury. Rest, my queen, Alistair whispered to her, kissing her soot-stained forehead. I have a chancellor to execute. Historical records show that Chancellor Frederick Croft's reign lasted precisely 3 hours. He was found the next morning in the courtyard of Ironhold Keep, heavily beaten and chained to the very carriage that had brought Maeve to the fortress. The vault door had been ripped entirely off its iron hinges, a feat of strength no single man, cursed or otherwise, could have achieved. King Alistair did not succumb to his madness. In fact, the feral curse never plagued the northern ridge again. Beside him on the throne sat Queen Maeve, a woman with heavily scarred hands, who replaced the kingdom's fear with an era of unprecedented prosperity. The humans thought she was a miracle worker. The wolves knew the truth. She was the blacksmith who walked into the fire as a human and emerged as an Omega Queen forging the most unbreakable chain of all a love that conquered the beast. Did this tale of betrayal, feral curses, and a mate bond strong enough to shatter silver keep you on the edge of your seat? The shadows of the Iron Valley hold countless more secrets. If you loved Maeve and Alistair's story, hit that like button, share this video with your fellow fantasy romance lovers, and subscribe to our channel for more epic, heart-pounding werewolf dramas. Ring the notification bell so you never miss a tale